Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
I'm delighted to be talking with Phil Gallagher. He is the Managing Director of Canyon Resources.
Thank you, Kerry. Nice to see you again.
Before we get into the latest news from Canyon Resources, let's talk about, because it's bauxite, it's Cameroon. So let's talk a little bit about the bauxite market, because when you look at investing in a company, you want to make sure that, is the commodity something that is in demand at the moment? What's your view currently on the bauxite market?
Bauxite in general is everywhere. Behind me in the Perth Hills is full of bauxite. But the key thing is there's a lack of high-grade bauxite in the world. West African high-grade bauxite has been discovered in Guinea many years ago and has been mined out of Guinea for certainly 20, 30 years plus. And in the recent times, groups have come in, particularly Chinese miners have come in, and they're now exporting well over 50 million tonnes per annum. And so there's a desire for very high-grade, low-silica bauxite that up until this point has only been produced in Guinea. What we have in Cameroon is a unique deposit called the Minamatap deposit, which is like the highest-grade Guinea deposits that used to be mined. And at the moment, we're quite comfortable that the Minamatap deposit can supply the highest-grade, lowest-silica bauxite globally. And there's a heck of a lot of it. We've drilled around half the available bauxite plateaus within our project area, and we've already got near a billion tonnes, 900 million tonnes. And it's clear that all those plateaus that we've yet to drill on are very similar. So the bauxite is consistent. It's all the plateaus are quite high, and the grade and the scale of the bauxite is really defined by the altitude of the plateaus. So we can very easily assume that there's well over 1.5, maybe 2 billion tonnes of very high-grade bauxite on our deposit. The challenging part of our deposit, it's a very long way inland, which is why the deposit is still there. But back to your original question on the bauxite market, now that there's this desire for high-grade, low-silica bauxite, high-value bauxite, our bauxite now is a desired commodity, and we can utilise the existing infrastructure to get it into the marketplace.
So what when you say that it's quite far away, what sort of infrastructure do you need to have a look at? And, you know, you said earlier it's the highest quality globally. So there's no one that, of a similar grade to this?
Look, there is similar. So we're looking to mine 52% bauxite with aluminium oxide with around 2 to 2.5% silica for 20 years plus. And that is very, very high grade. There are other products that are coming out that are similar grade but are washed. So they have to mine it and then wash out maybe the silicas, other things. Or there are products in Guinea maybe in the high 40% aluminium oxide and similar silica grades. So what we are is we are uniquely very high in that we can supply over 50% for decades of mining with very low silica. But also on top of that is the scale of it. We've got an enormous long-term consistent product, and it's a unique supply coming from Cameroon. The rest of the world's bauxite supply really of this grade is coming out of Guinea. So there's a huge supply concentration. And we see Cameroon as being a potential hedge against any potential supply disruption out of one country that's currently supplying more than half of China's bauxite.
Wow. Okay, well, let's talk briefly about Cameroon, because you talk about Guinea, and I agree with you. It's always good to have a second supply. Cameroon, are they pro-mining? Are they supporting the project? And from a geopolitical risk, as an investor into the company, are there any issues that we need to be aware of?
I would say no. Cameroon's in the west coast of Africa. Cameroon's certainly had some issues of late in the far north, very far north, more in Nigeria. There has been Boko Haram running around, and they're certainly a group that's caused some problems. But in our view, and certainly in the years, the 5 years plus that we've been in Cameroon, the Cameroon government has really handled that very well. In our project area, we've never had an issue, and we've been working very closely with the security in our region, and they've managed it very, very well. Down in the south of the country, there has been an English-speaking group, Cameroon being quite unique in that it's bilingual, and the English-speaking area has had a small secessionist group that has caused a few problems and certainly has been quite active and loud in the international media. But we're just reading today now that the Cameroon government is actually in active mediation talks with that group. And no, we've been really impressed. Cameroon as a country has had the same president for 30 plus years, now the second longest, I believe, in Africa. He's a democratically elected president. He just won an election last year, I believe. I was there. And certainly there's a consistency of the government. They want mining to happen. To date, the country has yet to actually have a successful mine developed, a large modern mine developed. So we're really keen and we're working very closely with the government to make our project the first modern mine in Cameroon. Wow. And there's a strong desire now from the current Minister of Mines to make that happen as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, that's on the positive side. Look, one of the things, you did your scoping study, but it's clear that from that scoping study, and now we're into a pre-feas, you've increased the tonnage from 3 million tonnes to 5 million tonnes, and obviously that has increased the capex. And I think there could be a little bit of concern as to how that could impact the project as a whole. Would you like to just address that to our listeners?
For sure. When we did the scoping study, it was back last year, which seems a lifetime ago, pre-COVID, and bauxite prices were certainly forecast to ramp up a lot higher. COVID has affected bauxite. There's no question the bauxite pricing right now is at a very historically low level. And what that highlighted to us is our scoping study was about the 3 million tonnes, get it out quickly. Our operating expenditure was quite high. So a real priority for this year, particularly since COVID's kicked in, was to really focus on reducing our operating expenditure. So yes, the capex has gone up to 120 million, but we've managed to reduce our opex from $43 a tonne down to $35 a tonne, okay, which is a substantial operating expenditure decrease. But also when our rail consultants and the project team were in country in February, thank goodness, before the COVID kicked in, they really did a close review on the rail line, and we are now very comfortable and have signed off that the rail line in its current capacity can take 5 million tonnes per annum down the rail. So what we have, Kerry, is that it's really a two-stage development process for the bauxite mine and the DSO project. Stage one is using the existing port in the city of Douala, which the rail line runs from our project directly to, and we can do 5 million tonnes per annum out of what is a very shallow port. We're in very close discussions with the port operators at the moment, and they're allocating berths to us. We've got room for it. And our plan is to bring 5 million tonnes down the existing rail line in the current configuration that the rail line is in, down to the existing port, load it on barges and ship it out to the very large ships, exactly as they're doing in Guinea. So it's following the exact same operating model. Cameroon, last year, they built a brand new deep water port that came in full operation last year down in the south of the country called the Kribi Deep Sea Port. Now, the Kribi port at the moment has a road access to it, but the rail line hasn't been connected to it. We're working very closely with the government of Cameroon to have that rail line connected to the port. Then we can increase our tonnage quite substantially, along with rail line upgrades at the top part of the rail, which is currently going through those upgrades funded by the World Bank. And then it decreases our OPEX again because we take that transshipping part out of the operating model. So we're then looking at an OPEX of maybe $30 to $31 a tonne. We're selling extremely high-grade bauxite, which we're very confident will receive quite a premium in the bauxite market and be a desired commodity. And that's stage two down at Kribi. Stage one, the startup through Douala Port. And Yeah, we're quite confident that we can increase tonnages up to somewhere near 10 million tonnes per annum.
And what sort of time frame are we looking at with that, Phil?
So start up stage one through the Douala port, we will be expecting to be up and running around, I believe it's first half 2023 in operation. And then stage two down to the Cribby port, it's at the moment we're actively working with the government to have this rail line extension built. But the actual construction of that is under a year's work. So we should be looking at not too long after that. It's very hard to give a forecast as to when that rail line will be built, but we're confident that the bauxite will be the impetus to build that rail line, because it then opens up this brand new deep water port for the whole country to utilise properly.
All right, let's talk about the increase in CapEx. Are you looking at a debt equity or all equity? What's your view on raising those funds?
For the sake of the PFS, we assumed all equity to keep the calculations really transparent and simple. But certainly we're in discussions already with debt providers. There's a lot of development funders around Africa, the AFC, the World Bank, the IFC, and so on. And in fact, we've already met with a couple of those, the AFC in Nigeria previously, and they're aware of the project. So no, we're quite comfortable that the project will attract debt funding, and the modelling of that debt versus equity, I guess, will evolve as the project develops. Yeah, you know, we're currently dealing with potential providers who are potential offtake partners who are offering maybe to provide funding as a part of an offtake deal and things like that. So the mix is, I guess, we're very open to the mix. We haven't yet decided how that will be, but we're certainly investigating the best mix to make it happen quickly, but also to make it happen effectively and, I guess, most efficiently.
And in the interests of your shareholders, more importantly.
Correct. Yes, very much so. We're all shareholders.
Yes. So you're a shareholder as well. So it's absolutely in your best interest. You have been since the beginning. And this has been your life's work, and it's starting to get to, I guess, the point again. Are you pleased with the timelines that you hit? Number one, number two, has the COVID situation impacted on the project at all in terms of moving forward?
I guess your first question, are we pleased with the timelines we've hit? Yes, we are. We've had a couple of delays on the way that I think we're learning. As I mentioned earlier, Cameroon doesn't have an operating mine, so we're pushing in a jurisdiction that's not a traditional mining jurisdiction, so some small things can sometimes cause delays. But as we've now been there for a few years and we have good relationships within government, we're starting to achieve things in the time frame that I'm much happier with. And sorry, the second part of your question?
Has COVID impacted?
COVID, sorry.
Because obviously you're in Perth.
I'm in Perth, yes. The team are in Cameroon. I was actually on the way to Cameroon in mid-March when Scott Morrison announced that the country was going in lockdown. We made a decision in Dubai to turn around and come back, and thank goodness, because Cameroon has actually been locked down since. So it has been a challenge, but the really positive thing is our team in Cameroon are really a very highly educated and really capable group of young people, and all our technical team on site and all our administrative team in the capital city, Yaounde, are Cameroonian locals, bar one Tanzanian driller who we have. And so they're all African, they're bar one, all Cameroonians. So that they are on site, they are operating today. We have implemented COVID restrictions, you know, such as half days, you know, so half working weeks in the office to limit the number of people in the office, restricting people travelling in and out of the camp to try and minimise, you know, any potential transmission. But other than that, the work is being done. We're all obviously hopeful that we get through this year, and hopefully next year we can get into some normality. But most importantly, for the next phase of the feasibility, because our project team was in country in February of this year, we don't need to get expats on the ground. We've got the team on the ground to do the work.
Yeah, so the work is ongoing. So really, you've got the right team on the ground that are there. You can communicate with them. They're getting on with the job. information flow is going backwards and forwards, and your job is to make sure that they continue with that news. So let's finish up, Phil, with what is it, why invest in Canyon, and what is the next steps for the company?
We really believe that it's a unique high-grade bauxite deposit that is the only deposit of this style, as in high-grade, low-silica, located outside of Guinea. So there is nothing else like it in the world outside of Guinea. And that's only important because there's such a dominance of the global supply coming out of one country that we think this is a required hedge. Secondly, we are quite confident that the bauxite market will kick up post-COVID. So there was a lot of exports into China of bauxite during the COVID period, and a lot of refineries were shut. So the bauxite price has gone down to a historical low, and all the forward forecasts show that that will kick up quite quickly in the next few years. And that will actually align with our project coming online and into production. The next part is we're a small team. We're completing all the work that needs to be done, and that this is going to happen quite quickly. I think it really comes down to grade. You know, aluminium is a product that's growing. If you're putting in 50% plus bauxite into your alumina refinery versus, you know, something in the 40s, you're getting 20% more alumina out the other end. And that's really what it comes down to, is this is a highly desired product by the refiners. And we're confident in our current dealings with potential off-takers that people want that bauxite and are prepared to pay the premium because of that benefit in the refining.
Phil Gallagher, that was a really good update for our investors out there. If people want to get a hold of you, let's just give them the best email address. Is it info@canyonresources.com.au?
info@canyon is the best one. Yes, info@canyonresources.com.au.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to find out any more, go and check out canyonresources.com.au. If you've got any questions for Phil, send him an email to info@canyonresources.com.au. ASX code once again is, and this time I'll say it right, C-A-Y. So, Phil, thanks so much for talking to us today on Small Caps, and we'll look forward to an update shortly.
Thanks very much, Kerry.